so we're up to we're going to do a few things in Pasta Barikistan today, tomorrow, and then I want to move on. I don't think I have any great new theories in Pasta Barikistan, but the Rashba is particularly interesting. It's also Shalom and Komo, but he and the Ra'ah say the same thing, and it touches upon a topic later, so I wanted to deal with this because I think so. I mean, Iri and I have a basic argument here. I think his chavrus is on my side. I think he's the general bad case of Mevarchim, which is that is how pliable do you think these categories are? How adjustable? Was Pasa Babakistan mikvah once upon a time and it doesn't matter? Or is Pasa Babakistan a category and you have to apply it to your mitzvahs? But even if we agree to disagree on that particular issue, because Rani, what that means is basically the conclusion I reached, which is clear in the Beis Yosef, is that Sfaradim should be washing and regular challah. Because that is today, now, normal way that bread is made. The idea, basically in a nutshell, you could all leave as soon as I say this. This Pasa Babakistan is bread that usually is the meal. The kind of bread that is eaten in the meal, and in a society in which bread was the bulk, was the primary food, it was the meal. That's what Pasa Babakistan is. What is not Pasa? That's what Pasa is. What is Pasa Babakistan? I said it backwards. That's what's not Pasa Babakistan. What's Pasa Babakistan? Well, it could be a lot of things, but the common denominator of Pasa Babakistan would be what? Boaz? You're not going to be a Suda on it. So you can imagine that Oreos are Pasa Babakistan, and cake is Pasa Babakistan, and pretzels, assuming they're made from a dough, which they might be.
Yeah, they're made from a dough.
Well, no, the question is, pretzels. Who would call that? I'm not thinking, there are the two kinds of pretzels, there are hard pretzels and soft pretzels. Soft pretzels are definitely a dough. But it's flavored also, so it's Pasa Babakistan. And the hard pretzels are also hard. So it makes the Pasa Babakistan, right? You can imagine hard pretzels and soft pretzels, right? People are not kovei asuda on them. I've discussed, you know, Triscuits and what do you call the circular crackers? Hits? Whatever. You know what I'm talking about? What? Ritz? So, yeah, they're probably all different names. So you could imagine you could be kovei asuda on those if, let's say, you're eating hummus, you're eating something with it, you use the crackers instead of using bread. But I think it's pretty direct. People don't use pretzels for that. I mean, the truth is, I shouldn't say that they make flat pretzels. Right? Mm-hmm. They sometimes have, they sell, actually. The flat pretzels with the little hummus in it.
Yep.
Those are snacks. A normal person doesn't use that as a meal. It's not, you know, so well designed. So pretzels are not something you eat, you're not covet up on. Yes, I've heard. They have a little thing there, pretzels, and that's their whole meal? Or it's a side dish?
What?
Bagels
are cheap.
Wow.
Like pretzel chips.
Things have really gotten.
Not very common, but.
Okay, so once you tell me that, I'm not sure that you would say that people normally kovei on something like that. But you can imagine the pretzels that aren't flat, okay? You can't really use those for anything but eating the pretzels. So that people are not kovei on those pretzels. So that's possible to kiss. So the reason I'm not trying to make trouble here, and I don't want you to, Ronnie is sufficiently skeptical of me, so, but I don't want you to go and make trouble. But really, challah is bread. Bread in America, in American society, bread is made with sometimes with eggs, sometimes with sugar. You wouldn't say that's Pasa Babakistan. You wouldn't say that that's dessert or something that wouldn't be kovean. You would be kovean. It's hard. Go into the store. Go into the supermarket. Here's your assignment. Next time you go to the supermarket, go to the aisle or the section where they have bread. And look what they sell as bread. And you'll find me bread that doesn't have at least a little bit of sugar or its equivalent, high fructose corn syrup, and doesn't have maybe some eggs in it possibly as well. Find me bread that's like that. You can, but the fact that that is the case means that our mitzvah is that bread is normally made with a little bit of this.
This concept is basically just one of many much more fundamental argument about how the changes in the tzi'ut relate to original scopes of different...
So yes, but... This is not a gezeirah. To my contention, Ephraim wants to contend that this category was frozen into halacha. The Rishonim have multiple interpretations, and if it doesn't fit in that, but when you look at how the mechaber is being koveya the category in the first place, when he deals with exactly this question, where what the Rambam will say is pas, which is if you have a little bit of sugar and a little bit of sweet stuff, but it's not dominant. Right? That's what challah is. That's what standard Ashkenazi egg challah is. So the Beis Yosef initially wants to read the Rambam also is saying that's pas, that it's only if it's a lot. But then he backs away because he says the tavlin part. So, but if you look at the definition that he gives, we'll read in the Beit, if you haven't seen the Beit Yosef yet, you look at the way he reasonably reaches the conclusion, I think it would be clear that if you were to look at our context, this is what bread is in Western society, certainly American society.
I'm just saying, like, the same joke we had recently about, you know, like, steak becoming leftover is the same situation.
No, the difference is that there's everybody, even when you talk about, we're not talking about what is the primary source of the meal to turn things upside down for Birkat HaMazon. We're talking about the line between pas and pas above a kiss. Pas and pas above a kiss are both pas.
Both are given, like, very clear definitions.
No, they're not. That's why there's so many days from Rishonim. And the common denominator, let's say, even if you think of the Rashba and the Ra'ah, I gave you the Rashba, are very striking about this. What is that? And I like the Rashba's formulation. Let's read the Rashba. You tell me. Okay. Jay, the question? The comment?
No, I was just saying.
Okay. But I just made you read, so I won't make you read for that, right? You just read the other day?
Yeah,
it
is
the other day.
The Rashba.
The Rashba. As a first thing, understand, this Rashba that we're doing has nothing to do with our... with Prince has nothing to do with our Gemara. It's a Gemara that we'll talk about later. It's really relevant for one primary halachic issue. Is there such a din of a beria? Imagine that you have a small grape, an entire small grape, and you eat one grape. It's less than a kezias. What do you do? So Tosis would say, don't. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Either have a lot of grapes, enough grapes that you have a kezias, or, I don't know, you know, cut off a little piece of each grape. Cut off, you know, circumcise the grape, remove part of the skin, and then you can eat the grape, okay? Or make sure you have a kezias of those grapes. Why? To avoid the sufferings. That's what the topic's for the middle of. So we're dealing with an olive that revealed, there's a story, two different versions of the story in the Bali family, what actually is going on. Rabbi Yochanan ate an olive, he made a bracha before and after. And the question is, how big is a kezias? How big is a zayas? They say, how big is a zayas? The answer is less than a kezias, because it's chaser begarim. Right? The pit is not edible, and therefore, when you eat an entire olive, you haven't eaten a kezias. That's because when we're sharing a kezias, it's the full volume of the olive. It's not a bin in an olive. So the question is, so how do you make a bracha before and after? And the two answers that are given, which we'll see quickly, the Yerushalmi says it's a beria. Beria has a general chashivos when you have an entire living creature. It's a little unusual if not locus. Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim and Mishnah is not this. Whether or not to apply this to non-bali chayim, to apply it to plants. But there is a machlokus that there's been in Yerudea that if you have a whole bug that's intact, it's not batel even b'shishin and the elef. I mean, it's a question. There are days that have shown that it's batel like the elef or something like that. But we assume very limited there. That's why people go sometimes a little overboard in dealing with their fruits and vegetables if they think there are bugs in them, or why there's a whole issue, was an issue with the New York City water, because some people are concerned about the coca pots. Why are they so concerned? It's batel. My answer isn't, yeah, but if the berry is shlema, if you know that every coca pot, if there are coca pots in the water, if people can see the coca pots, I'm going to, there's two stipulations, I have opinions about that. But, lead it to that those two things are the case. So if all the copa pods, were eligible to participate in the Special Olympics because they lost limbs, so it wouldn't be a problem. The concern is that you have a copa pod that's completely intact, it's not hostile to anything meaningful, and that is not batel. And that's the concern with vegetables in general as well. In other words, that old joke about what is worse than finding a worm in an apple? Finding a half worm in an apple, that is not true halachically. It's much better to have a half worm in an apple than a whole worm in an apple. Half worm in an apple is batel. It's not a barrier shlema. Whole worm in an apple, you've got a problem. Okay, fine. So the Yerushalmi says that it's a barrier. There is a sheep in the Mishnah and Tanakh, Rabbi Shimon, who thinks that like a chita could be a whole wheat kernel, not chasen, could be considered a barrier. It's fine. Not our issue for the moment. The Babu says it was Kizayas Gadahaya. It was anticipated in the modern period in which Kizayas would be the size of baseballs. And therefore, it was a larger than average Kizayas, which meant that even when you took the Kadam, you actually had a Kizayas worth of Zayas. So that's what the Hanababa is. Yes, boss.
Is there no argument to me that Kizayas means a pitted olive?
I went out of my way to dismiss. Firstly, the first part is there's always an argument to be made. Just ask a friend of me. Number one. Number two, I didn't say you, I said you and me. Number two, I tried to head off that point by stating that the din of the shear of a kizayis is not about an olive per se. The olive is just by which you measure it, it's the volume of an olive. And the volume of an olive is not the flesh of the olive, but the volume of the entire olive. But yes, you're right. Someone could have said that. You know, but I'll give you an example. There's one other area in halacha where, again, it's because they're just using it as a shear. It's not a din per se. What's the shear of achila on Yom Kippur that you chayav on? Which matters, which means if you're eating kafos supposed to do shear, eat less than that. What's the amount? No, and tichoseves hagasa, like a fat date. I assume that's a medjool date. You're missing an important word. Uchigari nasa. That's what it says. Tichoseves hagasa, uchigari nasa. When you calculate the volume of the date, it's including the volume of the pit, right? So the assumption is that a kizayis is a volume of an olive, including the volume of the pit. But when you eat an actual olive, so the pit is not considered ochel, it's not edible. Is it a Princess Bride reference?
No.
Go ahead.
Could we say that since there is, you have to say in this pit explicitly, but as I say, we don't say it explicitly, it's not counted?
I mean, that wasn't so funny. I don't know why you're laughing. I would have said, if I really didn't like what you said, I would have told you to stand up and tell people to throw things at you. No. You see from the Gemara, it's not true, right?
In other words,
the Gemara is clear. Both Bava and Yerushalmi would agree that the shear of a Kazayas Vilna, if you're eating chazer, and you want to know how much you're eating that's Machayev Malkos, the answer is Kezayis Uche. What is it? Is it the Garin? What's the term? Garin? The term? Yes. Garinatha. Yes. Yeah. You also find the word Galin, but that's the same word. Galin. Yes. So, bottom line is, it's clear they're assuming that the volume includes the pig in terms of what you have to eat. Right? That's a very good question. When they press olives, did they remove the pits before? I have absolutely no clue. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I would have thought that it would. That's a really interesting question. I have no idea. Not a clue. So, I hear what you're saying. Eretz Zei Shemen. Yes, except for it's all in a snot anyway.
But that's not how to go that way.
Well, So the Rashbos is commenting on this Gemara. So, Kevan, go ahead, Moses.
Kevan, the Shatun play very Mathe.
Right, the shear is now less than the requisite shear. So yesh lefaresh.
Yesh lefaresh. Matzer leshiur. The oraita. With a low k'man de'amar lehem b'tuke ad zayis. Ela dafim zayis havei
oraita. So just to remind you, what the Gemara he's making reference to is a famous Gemara. The Gemara Chafal Mebei suggests that the shear Midaraisa of Birchas Hamazon is Kedesh Sviyah. And the Hein Bit the Golatzman, right? The pasuk says, "Asher Lo Yisaf Anim Lo Yipashol Had God doesn't pay favor." When we ask God in Birkat Kohanim, "Yisaf Hashem Panav Elecha," so how can that be? And God says, "Ich Lo Esaf Anim Li Yisrael Shani Amarti VeAchalta VeSavata." The Hein Bit the Golatzman Ad Kveitza Ad Gezayis. That Gemara suggests that the sheer Midaraisa of Birchas Hamazon is Kedesh Sviyah. The obligation when you have a kizayis at the base is only drabanim. It's Gemara Leib in the seventh character. I hope we will get to see next semester in the story of Yanai and Shimon ben Shetach, where it sounds as if some Rishonim read that way. Not many Rishonim disagree, but it sounds as if kizayis is a din d'oraisa. one to eat a kazayas and according to the rice, and you can eat motzi others who ate more than a kazayas or more, even if they ate today's sviya. So the Rashba says that if you accept the Gemara earlier, if you reject the early Gemara earlier, you could say that this is batzal lashir or meaning in the raisa. In the raisa, once you eat kazayas, you have to eat elo dafi the kazayas out of the raisa. The yesh lafarish. Okay, now, just a curious question. How can it be the rice here? What are you eating? Bread? No? What are you eating here?
Wait, it's the Rashba, right?
Ah, it's the Rashba, who says, he knows that Shalosh Brachos, that main Shalosh is the rice. So now there's a Chiyam in the rice, the Berach Achorna, and all Shalosh Aminim. And so presumably he is transferring, one could have asked that, raised that question, but he is transferring the shear of Lachem to the shear of all the other Shalosh Aminim, that if through the Raisa you make Berachas Amazon on Kazayis or Kebetza, then with the Raisa you have to make Me'in Shalosh on a Kazayis or Kebetza's worth of Zaysen. And if with the Raisa you need today's Sviya, then Berachas Achaste and Shalosh is not today's Sviya. I could have constructed, by the way, a logical argument slightly different than that. Yeah.
Yeah,
and we could have made such an argument that today's Sviya might only apply to bread because that's what the purpose of bread is, whereas the other Shiva Saminim are not generally eaten today's Sviya, and therefore if the bracha is the raisa, the bracha isn't the chiv, so today's Sviya, the chiv is shirachiva. One could have said such a thing. One could have even had fun, even though this is hard to believe. The achal ta, that's referring to the Shiva Saminim, the savata, that's referring to bread. The achal ta is Eretz Kita Osora, and the savata is Asher Lo Meskinus Tocha Balachem. Fine?
Worse
than the reading, even though it's supposed to persist, you just have to at least say inshallah. No, because you didn't use it the way it's normally used. That could be a chesaron. Okay, go ahead. So this is what he's going to say, and this is the big issue. This is a big machlokas. I mean, it's a big machlokas. It's everybody against the Rebbe. It was piled on the Rebbe time, and there are little pieces here and there. There are like srivim of such a shita. The Rebbe did the Rebbe say it here? The Rebbe said, "You say Bar Nefashas afterwards." Do we have such a trace or not? It's not the Rebbe. Somebody else does it. No. Okay. But no, there's no notion that if you have less than a shear, you make some type of other bracha for it. There is such a position, and we're aware that you make a bar nefashos. There's a tosus. Tosus actually raises that possibility. Tosus on lamed ches amid aleph suggests lamed ches amid aleph. The re haya omer be bar nefashos came in the la bracha chashuvahi. The Tosus rejects that. That's what the Re says. So the Rashba here is rejecting that possibility. He's saying if it's less, if you don't have a shear, you don't make any bracha achrona. Go ahead. Where does it say that? Say in your Gemara. I didn't find it in mine. Unless the Rashba has any Gersa. Does he? Do we have another Gersa?
Yeah.
That says Loma Bar, came in the Basel Loma Rachin of the
Sofei.
Then
we can, it's Basel
Shuri, put it by the Sofei. Right. So it's not, in our Gemara, the Gersa is not there. It just says, came in the Basel Le Shuri, but came in the Shefel Garini Basel Le Shuri, how Rabbi Yochan and Hechim Mevorech, as I smell it. Doesn't say the so. How do you make a Brach on as I smell it, and it's Chaser Shir? So it doesn't say that's the so-called. You could say, there is a shita, by the way. There is a shita Henry Sheldon in the Gaon, who says that if you eat less than a shear, you know brachy be? Nada. Is this the Baha'i who says that? One of the Gaon says it. What? I'm either you're deluded or I'm really impressed that you are so intimately familiar with what could be defined as Baha'i by Shiva.
Different from a lot of what other people
say. Okay. That, I hear. That's a very...
Like, all we showed him said once, the Baha'i said this other thing that a lot of people say.
Okay, fine. So the Baha'i, anyway, I don't know if it's the Baha'i, someone of the Gaon says that there's a bracha rishona if you eat less than a shear. Okay, so you could eat that. You could, that comes straight out, came in the butt, so I sure were. I'm out of the birth. No brachas. That's the fact we figured out the haroma. No, unfortunately, we don't pass like that way. Otherwise, the solution to what do you do when there's a stuff like the brachas is just eat less than a shear.
Does that really solve it?
I mean, it would take you a long time to develop all of that.
Not today, you can't have a bracha.
What? Time?
The solution is the same as always. If you have a stuff like then you just don't do a shear.
You don't eat it.
But less than a slice, not your shear.
Okay. Fine, so go ahead. And he, again, assuming that his question about the Torah, it sounds like even what the Gemara would have had in the Maskana, I think if it were Shlakos, if Shlakos were Barnefashos, the question is on that. In other words, how would you even make a bracha for the bride of Hashem? So, if you do Tomar,
if you do Tomar, Kila and Derivi, Zera, Kamak, Shela, Lamai, Skrila, the other of these, Zera, Kabai.
In other words, if the whole question is on what you thought the bracha of Yochanan would be, Kloma, the might of Skrila of Yochanan, but self of bracha is the praise. Go ahead. There's the question might have been on that. In other words, it's on the assumption that you do, in fact. Make the real must make all his creates. How could he make it? He,
Omar the Maya, the Spirit of the Rem Yochan, the Sofa, Barif all had eight, he all created. He, Shaklik, lay, Ligur, Renuk, Mite, Bata, lay, the Shura, the Loeb Shar, the Ruke, Ale, Rafa, Ishel, Sora.
What meaning the Alam, the Allah eight? Aval, Olam. So even if you wanted to argue, you could read that textually. Afilu hachi.
Afilu hachi. Las far ru shishani pirfato mechmat shura.
Right. It doesn't make any sense that the bracha should change. What bracha? Not that you don't make a bracha. That the bracha should change based upon the amount that you eat.
Shinuin abrachos.
Right. Brachos only change when you change the species of what you change what you're eating. Right. Brachos don't differ between Shabbos and the week, and they don't differ between whether you're having a little or a lot. If you're making the bracha is the bracha. So that's the key. His key thesis here is she'ein shinu ha-brachos ela b'shinu ha-min. Okay, meaning I was eating apples, now I have cucumbers. I was eating crackers, now I'm eating meat. Or, inami.
Inami, the meaning aside,
Or within the same species, but when you change its form. When you take wheat, you grind it into flour. You bake it into bread. Or you make it into porridge. So then the bracha can change from ha'adama into shaka on the flour, hamotzi on the bread, Mazonas on the porridge, right? But you're changing the form of this thing. Okay? But there's no such thing as the bracha changes that differs between whether you eat a lot or a little. Now, if I stopped here, your immediate thought would be, pasta baba kisu. A lot hamotzi. A little mazonos. Doesn't that seem to violate the rule that the Rashba just laid out? So he says,
we talked about the Zerim Shemar Taiwan culture after reading Kovina with Suda, Sarifa Bereth. Kumar Shabareth of Fana, Amoti, Lefara, Shoshrapa.
Okay, so you have passed over Kislev. So if you're Kovin Suda, you make Hamotzi and Shal Shvach or Shachim. Oh, so that's the question. So the answer is
Logi, the Pratz Abam is the name Ki Lo Mevarchinan.
Ooh. That's pretty what? This is like the observer distorts the equation. Right? Not exactly. But the min, the bread doesn't, the pasta of the kisten doesn't change. It's the same thing. It's the same food on two sides of the table, like a split view. Pasta of the kisten, pasta of the kisten. But the way you relate to it now changes what its reality is. No, that's we're doing quantum mechanics. The Rashba anticipates it. Okay? I mean, there is a conceptual similarity between the two, by the way. Right? Understand the, at least, in fact, it's, this was Schrodinger's cat. The claim, I don't understand it, the claim is that the reality before you open the box is different than the reality when you open the box.
Well,
and you didn't do anything to the cat.
It depends on what observation means. I'm convinced that metaphor doesn't quite understand.
Measurement.
No, I don't know that that's true, actually. I when I learned this in physics, and I asked my father this question about the question, the issue of knowing that you cannot know both the position and the velocity of the particle. I don't think it's the, I don't think the understanding of it is not that the measuring distorts, it will disturb the reality. It's actually considered something that is definitionally unknowable. So, I can't tell you I fully understand. I know I see the quizzical spirits, maybe the philosopher is more content with this. But be that as it may, he says that it is the Shana Minino. It's Hey Dalakar, go ahead.
The Pad
de Alma,
the Marcin Ale,
Alright, so let's stop. This is a very there are some things that needs to be explained about this line. If you understand where the Rashba is going, he says that pas ba'alma you make hamotzi, pas ha'babikistin you make misonos. If you kovei suda, you've turned it into pas ba'alma. And even if you weren't kovei suda on it, if you eat that which others were kovei suda, why is he adding that in? That's a detail within what I would have thought. I would have thought that that's a detail within Piyasuda. In other words, there are two possibilities of Piyasuda, how to define Kavasuda Sele. One possible Piyasuda is Piyasuda Shalom, which might be, as Rani pointed out, the Rambam's position, despite that first Gemara on Daf, whatever, the Nezim et al. And the second approach is to say that Kavius is determined by, not you personally, but by what is normal for a person in your state. So, but that issue, whether or not the Kavius is determined by you or determined by everybody else, so that's just determining what is considered Tavas Sadasarai. And many Mishanim say, if you have what is Kadei Kavius for you, but people are not only Kavayan, you also say, Batlagai Kadei Tzu Father. So the question is, why does the Rashba feel the need He could have just said the following. He could have said, Ela de kishur koveh alav suda aso kipasta almost. I'm going to skip basically every word on that line except for the first and last words. You can put that in brackets. Right again. Aso kapasta alma sheochli mimenu harbe kidesfia v'havei leli didei kimi shel nishtana mi kimi shelo nishtana mimino.
It might just be because the second option, the zachirim, is a lot more striking. That it's like you don't actually see the thing has changed because other people do, so now it's changed.
You might even see that. I think you're on the right track. Maybe it's even correct. I think the Rashba, there are two possibilities as to how to understand what the transformation of Pasala Batistan into Pas. One is the way you are using it. The other way is the way you are using it. You got it? You understood what I was saying?
I think so.
Right. One of them relates to, you would have thought that in order for it to change, you have to have some level of intent. So it's more natural if you're kovei asud on it. When you're kovei asud, you're machshiv in the way, to use a word the Rashba, the Ra'a uses, achshivim. Right? It's very, that's a good analogy, by the way, even though you have no idea what I'm talking about. What's the principle of achshivim? It's a machlokas. Machlokas has to offer locate. The machlokas is the tijelfin question. Suppose you have something that is no longer rai lachila, but I eat it anyway. I have treif food, nevela, that is considered not rai lachila, so adam not rachis, akelev even, let's say, and I choose to eat it. Is there an isser baal? So there's a machlokas or shem, some say there's an isser drabanon. Why? Because achshave, because I made it into that. But just because I do that, clearly that's determined by me. We say that objectively it's not edible anymore. But I, when I do it, I am achshavei, so there's some, maybe some type of isid rabbanon. That's why gelatin's the question, because gelatin originally, you know what gelatin is originally?
Bone.
It's pond from the bone. It's not bone. It's actually soft material. It's extracted from the bone. And then it's rendered inedible, powder form or something like that, and then it's used to make things do, to make things gel. So the post-Kimur Mafir, this is Minhag Eretz Yisrael. At Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the hashgachas rely upon the post-Kimur who say that gelatin is not an issue. Probably, doesn't surprise me. It's really a kind of machlokes among Ashkenazim, and it's become America versus Eretz Yisrael. I wouldn't be surprised if Moshe was not Mafir, and that's why, how it became Minhag America. I don't know for sure, but that you buy stuff in Eretz Yisrael, and probably you're supposed to, I mean, in theory you're probably supposed to be careful if you're a Ben Chutz Lawrence who is not moving to Israel. If you move to Israel, then you eat the stuff that has that shkacha. But if you still plan on coming back here, that's probably chumrei makom sheyatzei mishan. It's not chumra we're talking about, but it's galus. So you should try to be careful about that. Okay. And you have to be careful when it's importing whether actually importing or bringing back stuff from Israel. Oh, it's got hashkafa there. Yeah, it's got hashkafa there because they're relying upon that particular kula. So I think that probably the majority of post-kula, I'm guessing, hold that it's mutter. So the Ra'a uses a language of achshavei. In other words, pas above a kisman is in pas, but now when I make it a pas, achshavei, I make it a pas. So it's against that backdrop, I think, that you understand why the Rashba, I'm not saying he's responding to the Ra'a, but the Rashba has that comment that not only if it's just that I'm kovei asuda on it, that clearly I'm achshavei, but even if I'm not, but other people would normally be kovei this way, so that's still, that objectively changes what the pas is.
I mean, that was there.
We might. You can ask that. I don't know if Chetz or Gavra is actually the right term here. Because it's not. No. It's Gavra and something else, yes. Yes. It's this Gavra versus the old one. It's objective versus subjective. That's another popular conceptual distinction, but I don't think it's Chetz and Gavra. Okay, so if you say Chetz and Gavra, pray out the window or something like that. Okay. Can the Gavra, will the Gavra fly, or will he be like a Chetz? Okay. Question?
It's interesting that there's probably a question from a
What do you mean, early on?
Yeah.
Oh, so one second. Yeah, I mean, he asks, it's true, he asks in the first part of the Gemara, that may be why he picks out it.
It's also the one that's really a shear.
That's really a shear?
Meaning, Kedus is not obviously a shear, but the other people who are being commanded is really a shear.
Okay, fine. So, but it's interesting, the Rashbam thinks that you have to defend his position, particularly against the assertion, which we accept, which almost everybody accepts, even at the Ram on the Rift. You have to defend his proposition against the claim, but it's not determined by what you do, it's determined by what everybody does. Okay.
But sometimes it is by what you do, right? Like, if you ate less than a shear viewed for a herring, and you were so bad on it, it would also... No.
The Gemara is not explicit about that, but there are a number of Rishonim, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paschim who said it's totally relevant what you do. If it's kriyas for you, again, I want to emphasize the point that the Biur Halacha makes is that an 8-year-old and a college student and a middle-aged man do not have the same shear. Each one you look at what would be if I'm koveh, you would ask what would a middle-aged man be koveh on? It wouldn't be the same thing what a college student koveh on. It wouldn't be the same thing what an 8-year-old would come out. An 8-year-old probably, if I use my pizza analogy, is probably one slice. I'm probably 2 slices. People in this room are probably 3 slices. Unless I'm overestimating you. So I apologize if I'm underestimating you. Believe that 4 slices is the minimum amount of kids. So, college students have remarkable capacity for 2 things. Sleeping extended periods of time if left undisturbed. And eating copious amounts of food. So.
In the Rashba also, though, you're saying the language sounds like there's 2 independent criteria almost.
No, he's taking the 2 scenarios that the Gemara discusses. He doesn't address what would happen if you're Kobeya, but no one else is Kobeya in that share. Yeah. Okay. So he continues and says, V'teidalacha.
V'teidalacha, she'in in at Omer Ken.
So what's his question here? I don't know that this is so muhach, but what's his question? Again, keep in mind the central thesis here. Shinu b'shir does not create shinu b'bracha.
So if there's a division, if there's a rain which is deraita and a rain which is derabanan, then there should be a shift in bracha.
Right. If the shear is mishana, then you'd expect when you go from a deraita shear to a derabanan shear, which is kesviya to kazayas to beita, you'd expect a downgrade in the bracha, some change in the bracha, but we don't. Okay. Okay, so if they didn't want to make the shinu brachas, that's the argument, they didn't want to downgrade it, why did they make a downgrade when it got less than a kazayas or a kabeza? Okay. It sounds like from the Gemara and Dachah from the base, we'll explain in a second, that there's no bracha at all whatsoever less than a Kazayas or Kabeza. Why? The Isa, that there's a bracha even on less than a shear. If there were a different bracha that you made on less than a kezayis or kabeza, then God would have praised the Jewish people not for being mizamen ad kezayis ad kabeza, but on the koshu, no matter what.
Okay.
Shira Deraisa. In other words, if even there's a machlokas, what does Shira Deraisa Rabbanan? But there's no reason to assume that their positions on Shinui Bibrachos, based upon the Shinui and Shir, there's no reason to assume that there should be any daylight between them on those two issues. Okay. The Gam.
The Gam that is a silvering came to Inca Fodmus this year, Salim Rafa Klal, the Sotho, of all the Tilato, but I, a few Kulshaku, Salim Rafa, the Fisha, Sorda, I know it's Niha, Olanaze.
Okay, so again, he's a little selective in the citation of Tosos, because the reading Tosos says otherwise. But it's that very same Tosos that I mentioned before, on I think the top of Lamed Tesav Aleph, where Tosos says that the mainstream position of Tosos is that there's no bracha achrona on Pachas Kedushir, but there is a bracha bishonah, right? Because Tosos doesn't, I think, have the desofe. He just says, Amay Mevarech, and Tosos says the question's on the bracha achrona, not on the bracha bishonah, because the bracha bishonah. And this highlights the point that we made previously, that bracha rishona is because it's gezel to eat without a bracha. Bracha achrona is hodal l'shavar. It's giving thanks, expressing gratitude. And so there might be that for such a small amount, well, sometimes if I'm preparing a salad or something, and there's like a little extra piece of something there. So, when I'm eating the salad later, I don't want the thing to go to waste, so I'll have a tiny little piece of something. I'll make a bracha bishana, but I'm not going to say thanks God, that was such a wonderful thing. I'm almost doing it so trippy balpashma. It's not because I really care to eat, but it's just like chaval, why should it go to waste? So let me just do it that way. So you can imagine why pachas b'kashir doesn't engender the same need to express one's gratitude as eating a shir shalim does, eating a meaningful man. But and this is the difficulty with whoever shita that is, whether it's the Bahag or somebody else, whoever says that Pachas Mishnah is no bracha, is there no gezel on Pachas Mishnah HaKruta? But gezel is also b'kol shehu. There may not be any chiv of tashlumim until you steal kruta. And it's not, I don't even know if that's true. Is that, I don't know if there's no chiv of tashlumim. I know it's not actionable in the court. It's not actionable in the court. You can't take someone to Beis Din for stealing less than a kruta's worth of yours. Just can't. So, again, and it's bad I also to steal Pachas B'Shavah Pruta. Who stole less than B'Shavah Pruta? The Dora Mavel. The Dora Mavel, where the Chayla quotes. You know that? Yes, each one. The difference is the Medrash Rabbah. I don't remember maybe I didn't quote this here. Where did I quote this? I used this somewhere, but where? I don't remember where. The Medrash Rabbah says, this is not the way we usually distinguish in Halakha. What's the difference between Hamas and Gezel? Ki mal ha'aretz Hamas b'pneihem. So one day in Bereishis Rabbah is that Hamas is Pachas Mishu Shavah Pruta, Gezel is Shavah Pruta Mol. And that describes the story. First they had a pile of wheat, and each corn would come, take one or two kernels, so it was worth less than a pruta. By the time everybody had finished, the entire pile had disappeared. And each guy said, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. So anyway. Chazal have a very profound and powerful message there, which is the tragedy of the commons destroys the world. Right? Each person says, I'm not doing anything wrong. Yeah, but the amalgamation of all those actions, the little things that you do that can really add up, because when a lot of people do them, or if you do them a lot of times, it really can turn into something bad. Okay. Anyway, so the Rashba then finishes. Okay, so again, he wants to bring a raya from this Gemara, a gist that we don't have, but apparently he must have had. Okay, now, why is this Rashba so important?
Behind Pasta
Yeah, it's a basic argument that Pasta Babakisman is it's a food that's transformed into regular bread when you use it in the context of a Suda. It's like Mishtana Mina. Its bracha changes. It is odd. If you've learned Pasta Babakisman enough times, you just know. Sometimes you make a Jonas on the suit, sometimes you make a Motsu. Do you stop and ask the question, okay, but that's really weird because we normally make one bracha on the same food? Well, the answer is, it's not the same food. It's not the same food. A piece of pizza eaten between two classes running into Eagles bagels they sell pizza there. And grabbing a slice on the way just so you can have a snack to tide you over till dinner is not the same thing as sitting down at the table with a personal pizza and a fork and a knife and a glass of wine or whatever else you drink with it. You know, and friends, those two are not the same thing. You think that the two people eat the same thing. They do not eat the same thing. One of them eat pizza, and the other one eat pizza. Two different things. Two completely different things. There was no emphasis there.
Pizza or pizza?
Yeah, no, I wasn't doing that there. Previously, I did it. Usually, I do it. There's a reason I do it here. Bottom line is, it's not the same food. It looks the same. It tastes the same, but it's not the same. So that's the svara behind Tasa Baba Kista. Okay. Now, when you turn to the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef here presents the shivas that it would present in Shulchan Aruch. And so I'm going to give Ron a yawn. I'm doing this.
שכתב הרבה מיונה בפרק כס המלכים והעולות
כתבו גם כן
והרשב"א גם כן כתב כבי הדברים הבאים בתוך הסעודה תגובת הבאה לחיסנים כגון ובייש ויש ואותם העשויים כמין כיסים שמלאים אותם בדבש ושקעים.
Right, so the first explanation of Pasa Baba Kisanim is Kisim. It has pockets. So, wrong holiday. Well, I guess it's fine. Sufganiyot. Okay, there's a different problem because they're fried, so let's go with that. Hamintashim. Wrong holiday, but it's okay. It's Kseir Shalav Achin Hariyos today is Achin Hariyos today is between Hanukkah and Purim. Therefore, we can talk about hamantashen. So hamantashen is, you know, you have a thing on the inside. You have some type of a filling. That's also a kamin kisim.
I think there's something baked on it.
What?
I think there's something
that's
baked on it.
What's that?
They're fried.
That's the point. What would the point be? What? I don't know. As I told you previously, for many years I lived with the guilt, the retroactive guilt of having spent those weekday nights of having had boxes of Entenmann's donuts instead of dinner when I was taking my German language, thinking years later I realized I should have washed and benched because Kasa Baba Kistin, somebody said that Entenmann's donuts were baked. Entenmann's donuts are fried, so maybe this is a different donut that's baked. But I'm willing to bet you that Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme Donuts, and Entenmann's Donuts are all fried. So if you're looking for a baked donut, you will have to look elsewhere. So, bottom line is that a hamantashen would be Pasa Baba Kista. Can you think of other examples? I guess like a cheese Danish. And you can have other kinds of Danishes, right, where there's a fruit filling inside. So that's Pasa Baba Kista. That's the first definition. And I think we can all agree on that. All of us, if I'm and I can both agree that remains Ad Hayom Hazeh, food that you would not make as your main. Yes.
people have calzones are a good example, but they also have filled things.
Woo! Hold on.
Okay.
It might be, it's a different film. The Mechaber, can I give it to you on here? I should have given you in Sif Yud Zion, which is the last Sif. The Mechaber says that if you have a bread which is filled with fish or cheese or meat, I think, that you make hamotzi and shalosh brachos. He doesn't say anything that if you were kovei sud on it. So that's where the big machlokes Chaz and Magen Avraham is, as to whether or not he just didn't bother to say it because he said it enough times in the simon, or somehow a calzone filled with cheese and vegetables is different than a hamantashen filled with filling. And that is that's why I've mentioned before, Shechter Shita, I never heard this from him, but it's been said in his name that pizza is meal food. That's how the Magen Avraham understands, and some other folks understand that last that last fifth in the Shulchan Aruch. So how is it different? Isn't that pas also kisin kisin? Yes, except for instead of filling it with sweets, you fill it with meal foods. You fill it with fish and with meat and with cheese. That is, you know. Now, my timing about pizza is, even if you accept my Abraham, I don't think pizza is necessarily uniformly meal food. Now, there is, I think the calzone, even though it could be the same ingredients, is. Now, some of it has to do with the way the food is designed. Okay, pizza can be finger food. A calzone, please don't, especially not on a date. You notice you're wondering why. Are you puzzled? You know what a calzone is?
It's like a stuffed pastry.
It's kind of pastry. I mean, it's like a dough, and it's not a puff pastry dough. It's a relatively thick, comparatively thick dough, and it's stuffed inside with cheese and vegetables. You can go into, you know, the, what's it, the Como pizza? Is it still like calling Como? And you can get a calzone, right? That is not something people usually eat on the run, eat on the fly, eat as a snack. It's both A, hefty, and B, it's not the kind of thing, like, you eat with a fork and knife, I think.
There's cultural situations that are like from your mind. Like when I think of pizza as a snack, I think like there's a party or like some school event where they hand out like a slice.
Yeah, nobody would do that with a calzone.
Right.
Some of it has to do with the way the food is made. Like pizza lends itself to that. It also comes in smaller amounts. A calzone, I mean, you can't really say, well, I'll take a third of a calzone. It does, kind of doesn't work because it's got to be enclosed. So the Taz would say, even a calzone, let's say I'm having a small calzone. They make a small calzone for me. And I'm just going to stop in the middle of the afternoon. Right? And I want to grab a snack during classes. Whereas the Magen Avraham would say, no, that's called meal food. But I even if you accept that the Magen Avraham, I'm challenging whether that's actually true for pizza. Can you look at pizza and say, this is always meal food by definition? If you hold the Magen Avraham, you always wash. Or is it, you know, yes, sir?
So we're saying it's about can be snack food, not is it normally meal food?
I think that if it is, by definition, if it is eaten as a snack with some frequency, then you can't say it's called meal food. Any pasta can become meal food, as the Rashba says. Right? It can become transformed into it. But I think you have to, I don't know what the line is between, you know, clearly it can be bought with dietilis kladim, but yes, I think you go to events, and it is common for people, oh, have a piece of pizza, that's a snack. So I don't think you could look at pizza and say, this is meal food. You might say that a personal pie, personally, if you ate the whole thing, for sure, any of your kovei on it. But you might say that is cool. You know, there's, I'm not sure I would, because people could still grab one slice of that. But you have to, it's often a snicker. You accept that you have to put lines down somewhere. That's the problem. Other than say, well, just have some bread with it, and therefore you never, no more bread, you're straight. Yes. No, it's actually not. A personal pie, generally speaking, when you have slices, they're small. It's a different kind of, it's a much smaller thing. So it's not, you know, it's used differently.
Another side. A personal pie is very big. Like, it's more than three slices.
It's clear if you eat the whole thing, you're being kovei on. But normally, anyway, so maybe for a personal pie, you have to just make personal pies to people.
Like if someone comes home with like leftover pizza they had,
you'll grab a slice, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so my point, you can accept the Magen Avraham, this convention, that there is a difference between what the filling might be, and yet still say that pizza is not definitionally meal food. That's all.
But we're not sure if this is not, at least until now, it's on top pizza, but there's something.
So I think that would be too much being a hyper-literalist. You know, I had a chaver of mine who, his shita, when he ate pizza, and it used to be, this is, I don't know what this pizza's like, but there was a pizza shop where I think Chop Chop is. And this gentleman from the Heights, Pepe, this little Hispanic guy, didn't know so much English, but he liked Hebrew. He knew some Hebrew words. So when I was a student in high school, I was a 40 years ago, almost. So that was the only pizza shop, and it was a good. That was a nice, had a crispy crust, which is the way pizza's supposed to be. wipe that question thing off your face, or I'll throw you out. I'm just telling you a fact, okay? So his shita was he would always, and he can't do this with oily, soft pizza, it doesn't work well. He would fold, this was his shita, he would fold the thing over so he'd eat most of his pizza. Now, it's not mamula only because of after you bake it. I know, but I think pizza's the same thing. It doesn't have to be inside. The whole point is that this is not. The three pasta babakistans are going to be a filling, which pizza is a filling. It's a filling on the top, as opposed to you are lacking in imagination. It is conceptually a filling. It is not something blended into the dough, which is the second definition. It is something baked along with it. So they forgot to close it up. So what? Yes.
Like frozen so that, not really
Because
if you don't
do
that, it doesn't
matter
open sandwich or not. It's just, it's
how it is. Correct, it's like an open sandwich.
Sandwiches.
Open sandwiches are hamotzi. What? Open sandwiches? Hamotzi. Yes. No, Jake, they are. The reason they're hamotzi is because the bread is baked first. That's why. No, nobody makes it. If you make pizza where you bake the dough, actually bake it, I mean, I know the stones are preheat the dough. But what's that?
Flatbread pizza. When you take flatbread, then pizza.
Oh, yes, 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 correct. If you take
matzah pizza.
If you make matzah pizza, that other than the fact that the matzah is a cracker texture, other than matzah's cracker, that's not how Sabbath of Christmas. In other words, if you took a flatbread and then you put cheese and tomato sauce and melted it on in the oven, that's not how Sabbath of Christmas cues in. When you determine the status of pasta babakistan when it's big, when it becomes pas, that's when you determine it. So that's why a pizza, I know it's not technically enclosed in a pocket, but pizza is the first definition of pasta babakistan.
I agree. Very good.
I feel like we're not being a sheet pasta.
We're supposed to have shir. The plan is to try to do
Pilgrim Yachts.
Okay, the goal is to have shir lunch and bring in pizza next week, even though it's against my dietary principles. I'm going to join you. However, your pizza and your pizza, before you get to it, we're going to fold it over and rebake it.
I'm going to fold it. What do you do?
What's that?
Men
are about
to fold the pizza.
No. You fold the pizza when you grab it at the back end and you like fold it like a lengthwise sideways.
Yeah.
This is, he used to take the pizza and he would take the pizza and then fold it over as a triangle.
Lengthwise.
I thought we're being careful here. Okay. Fine. Anyway. I think pizza conceptually fits the definition of the first definition. It's a filling, even if you haven't closed the pizza up. Right? The difference between a pizza and a calzone only is because of that, I think, it determines whether it's definitionally meal food. So if you buy into the Magen Avraham's shita, then in fact it would be automatically, it wouldn't be pasta because it would be straight pasta because it's meal food. Okay.
I also think the reason why it being keys is important is because it's doing something to the dough when you bake it.
So is the pizza, so is the cheese, so is stuff.
It's possible.
Same thing.
It's possible that back then it may not have accomplished similar.
It didn't have tomatoes back then.
I'm not talking about pizza. I'm saying when you bake it inside the thing, it's possible that it seeps out uniform. I don't know if they thought.
Well, that's what would happen with pizza also.
I'm not sure.
If it happens with the
filling, I mean, the answer to your question, by the way, you know that it's, I don't know if it seeps out, because if you learn Simon Shin Yud Ches in Hilchos Shabbos about the empanada, where you're laughing at me, I'm quoting literally, empanada. Yes. What's that?
So the Aramaic?
No, it's not Aramaic, it's Spanish.
No, I know, that's why I was laughing.
I know, but it's in the Shulchan Aruch. So there, it's a shayla on Shabbos about molus, whether or not you're allowed to warm it, even if you're not heating it, it's not a visual problem, because if the fat, congealed fat, melts, then you might have a molded problem, like you're not allowed to do rasa shalom. It's the machlokas. What?
That's not the
yes.
Yes, it's transliterated from Spanish.
Yes. So the point is that, yes, it's clear that one of the things the fat does See, the question is whether it gets out fully. On pizza, the same thing happens. So.
What do you mean?
This is a tough.
Like, it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you baked it as a pizza and it took off the topping, would you really say that the bottom part isn't bad?
Well, I mean, it would be different than with a, if you stripped the filling out of the calzone.
But can you actually do that?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, you could cut it open and strip the, scoop all the stuff out. You'd be left with a soggy dough. Yeah.
You're saying just the shell?
Yeah. You could be left with that the same way. Again, I'm going to call Boris. A pizza is an unfolded calzone. How's that?
The Italians are crying.
Pizza's not an Italian food. Pasta is.
The New York Italian food.
Right? I understand. It's an American, maybe American Italian cuisine. It's not Italian. I think, I believe, I could be wrong. There is Italian pizza, but it's a different variant, I think, than American pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a hustle. Everything here gets commercialized and, you know, commoditized and industrialized and so on. What's that?
New York pizza is better than Italian. Okay. I wouldn't know how that.
But we'll say it anyway. Bottom line, okay. For sheer purposes, we postulate that pizza is an unfolded calzone. Let's move on. Next.
The Arambam katab, in Perek Shemshim, in Kortelakot, Halakabche, Shegi, Aisa, Shenim, Losha, but Bidrash, or the Shemin, or the Halab, or Shirepa, Minet, Marin, the Afa'ah.
Okay, so it sounds like firstly you knead it with honey, oil, or milk. Now, what does that mean to knead it with honey, oil, milk? Obviously, it means one of the ingredients is honey, oil, milk, but the question that Sage is about to discuss is how much. Right? Remember that most American bread is, it's water and flour primarily, but they'll put in a little sugar. They'll put in maybe eggs. Not typically fruit juices. That's not typical, but yes.
I thought we said last week you're not allowed to put milk in the bread.
If you make a very small amount or you make it in a funny, you bake it in a funny shape, you can. To enter it.
So I guess that's what
they're
all
saying. Yeah. Or it doesn't want the credit,
so it doesn't have to have a kiss. Correct. Butterflake is, I think, all part of the bakery in Tina. But once upon a time, when it was probably much better, you know, even though it was still kosher, they used butter. Butter is infinitely better and infinitely healthier than margarine. I'm not a foodie or I don't have great sensitivity, but they say when you make like bread with butter, it belongs to another category. So you can't make regular bread with butter. You're not allowed to. When you make let's say Italian bread, here again the distinction of baking versus afterwards. An Italian bread, if you're making it not for let's say with lasagna, which of course is offensive dietarily. That's like having Italian bread with lasagna on the side is essentially achalnama binama. Okay, dietarily speaking, if you think about that. But I think my heart is just seizing up with carb overload thinking about that. But it's very good. It tastes very good. And if you make Italian bread, you take garlic bread. I'm sorry. Garlic bread. I meant to say. You take a loaf of Italian bread, you split it, and then you put butter and garlic inside. But that's mutter because it's not being made into bread. When it's milk, you're making the bread milk subsequently. That you're allowed to do, but that the gzera was you cannot bake bread when the baking is milk. Also, when you bake bread in an oven at the same time where there meant to be, let's say, cheese in the oven, so the chumra, the rith has a chumra, and the mitzvah with sheep, that's a very hard sheep to understand, you have to be machmir to treat the bread as milk. But again, that's not real milk bread. It's not bread with a milk ingredients, it's just bread that got milk in the process of baking. But to use milk or butter in the dough, one is not allowed to do. Unless it is a cake. Nobody looks at a cake. Now remember, why it's the same, the svara behind that is the same svara about the distinction between pasta, pasta, babakistan. Why is it mutter to make dairy pasta, babakistan? So part of it, you'll say, is a hecker, but it's more than that. Why the way it goes there on not making dairy bread? Because people used to have bread was the primary thing. And if you were eating milchiks or you were eating fleishiks, bread was the primary thing. And the concern was you make a milchiks bread and you forget that it's milchiks, and then you're eating your next meal with fleishiks, and you eat the bread with the meat. So therefore, and vice versa is the same problem as well. Therefore, I mean, I don't know, I guess you would make bread with schmaltz. I guess that would be, with fat, that would be the only thing I can imagine. Otherwise, I don't know what you put in bread that would, what?
No, it's not good.
It probably is really good, yeah. Fat is really good. Yeah. There's a reason, there's a reason why it's brought under the staff. You're giving, there's a reason why Truma, which is supposed to be the best, is called Kol Chedav Dagan Kol Chedav Tira Shri Yitzar. Chedav is the best tasting part of everything. What's that? What? No, that was Beteriyaki Rodas Achel. They weren't taking the Chedav. I mean, we could debate. Chazal's reading certainly is that, and the pastors is not, I don't think Shad is going to be taking the chaylov, it's that they, before the Mizbeach had gotten a share, because you're not Lachatil to eat before, they were just coming and taking whatever they wanted. So it's not before they separated the chaylov, it's before they burned the chaylov. So I never thought about the reading you were suggesting. We don't figure that out. But, yes, probably is very good. So the point is that the bread that you eat with the meal is the one that we are concerned about. We are not concerned about, you know, bakery cake. If they put in butter in there, because aside from that, doesn't look like bread. It's not the thing that you eat. We don't generally, we make any zeros. We don't make zeros of things, lest you come to eat milk after meat or meat after milk. We make zeros on eating milk with meat. I mean, it's ironic because it's not a sugaraisa. What? I understand, right? Having a glass of milk with your hamburger is only the sidravana. The only sidaraisa is cooking the milk and the meat together, eating them together, and certainly eating one after the other is a sidravana. The Kal Yisrael seems to be more moderate. You know, the way people get about this, they can be busy cheating on their taxes, via being Baal Arayos, milk and meat, we would never mix together, Chas V'Shalom. Okay? The Rambam is talking about something where it was, there's a some type of a heker or something like that. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Ha'yadir Elomar.
Ha'yadir Elomar. Ha'yinu davka v'shalon atan ma'in ela me'ah. Ava, in atan ma'in harbeh.
Okay, and therefore v'yesh. Okay, now you would agree if you stopped here that Ashkenazi challah fits this criteria.
But I don't know what the proportions are.
Well, first, there's no fruit juices in it. You might have a little bit of an egg or two in the dough. And then you might have a little bit of, a couple of teaspoons of sugar or something like that. Right? You don't mean, the truth is, Ashkenazi challah, the sugar doesn't really stand. It's sweet, I guess, compared to a sourdough bread, but it's not particularly, like, you have a piece of challah, most challah, and you compare that to any cake or anything like that, you wouldn't say the challah is sweet. Right. So the sugar is not a dominant factor, and the eggs aren't either, but it has a different texture, a slight different texture.
Would you call sugar tevalim? Like, which?
I think tevalim is what it would fall into the category, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So he thinks that that's what it is. Right. It sounds like the honey is the primary ingredient in kneading. I mean, it's the primary liquid ingredient.
He said that which was kneaded into honey. In other words, he said you need the dough into honey.
No. What he's saying, Issa should not sound less. You would have said a dough which you put honey as opposed to a dough which you made with honey.
No, he's making it that, because Shemilo Shabbos, he's making it sound, he's saying the Rambam is saying that the Devash is the main thing that you're putting bread into.
No, you're not putting the bread into it. That's what I'm telling you. Milo Shabbos Devash means it was kneaded using, not into honey. It was kneaded with honey, as opposed to you put some honey in there. Right, if I have a dough that's water and flour, and I put in a teaspoon of honey, you would say I put some honey in the bread. You wouldn't say I kneaded it using the honey. It was just the flavor. Whereas that's why he thinks nilosha bidvash, as opposed to nilosha binayin. There's the primary lisha was with dvash, as opposed to nasa l'socha dvash. Ella.
The nimash shekatav osheklevah minet tavlin ikar l'midah
Well, you can make, draw the opposite conclusion. Go ahead. In other words, tavlin, there's a limit how much tavlin you put in there. You can put a little pepper in the bread, you put a lot of pepper in the bread, there's somebody in your house you really don't like. So, and that would be true for most spices. Hilkach. Right, in other words, challah ultimately is not necessarily dependent upon something that actually became lechem. A standard pas. You mean pas above a kiss in this chayav in challah. Okay, Ella. Chala may apply to all lechem, but hamotzi and shalosh brachos only applies to lechem. Okay. Now, so I want to say two things about this. Number one, it's quite clear that today, challah, bread that you find in the store, are darkest of the mikvala. You're going to have to make a claim that sometime in the distant past, there was an actual freezing event. I have no reason to think that is the case. In the very same way that we distinguish between when you eat this food, whether you're koveya or not koveya on it, I see no reason why we shouldn't also say that it depends whether you kovei on it or not kovei on it, normally. It just as we look at it situationally, from almost not from person to person, but from place to place, from category to person, why wouldn't you say, well, okay, but this is what is bread in this particular place now? And he's willing to entertain the possibility. Yes, I would even make the following argument. The Rambam says, and this says that as long as the Tam HaTarobis is Nikar Be'isa, right? The every ingredient does something to the food. I don't think most people would taste most challah and say, oh, I taste the sugar. Or I taste the eggs. I don't think people would say that. It's not like, you know, the new style is, you have to be careful about this if you're relying upon, especially in a whole lot of Magen Avraham, is people will have, it became like, it's like chocolate chip challah, except for, it's not a couple of chocolate chips, it's basically chocolate batna. And that, even according to Ashkenazim, is, you know, for Ashkenazim, if you put a couple of chocolate chips here or there, that's pas. That's pas. But with the way they're doing it, it's like, oh, this is really not so different than chocolate vodka. So I'll concede that the Mechaber has a higher standard to clear the pas threshold than what the Ramal will, but I'm not sure. It's a little bit of a stretch to say when you have this kind of a standard Ashkenazi challah. It's not, doesn't have sugar on the outside, but you taste the sugar in the eggs. Obviously, it has an impact. It does taste different, but I don't know that you would say tama mikar in the same way. Go on.
I mean, now you have vanilla extract, and a lot of people started putting that in colors, and that's a lot more easy to taste than
I don't know why anybody would do that. Listen, I have to be biased towards why I prefer water challah, actually. So.
I mean, I just mean sourdough bread, but like people have been through it.
Because I like the taste of it better if I. I like sourdough bread.
You can taste the difference.
What? I didn't say you can't taste the difference water challah, but you can't taste the sugar. The bread tastes a little different. But you wouldn't, like, there. If you put certain spices in, you would say, this tastes peppery. Right? Salt is obviously allowed. The salt I take is a given. That's allowed, right? You tell me.
It doesn't mention it.
It's tavlin.
Okay, Adam,
that's
a good question.
Wait. Maybe meet you in a week and say, what do you do with salt? What's that?
Ask Melech Tocha, it's the standard.
I do not believe that you just utter those words. They didn't ask to clear your lips. You realize what?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You know, pasta malach tofa doesn't mean you put salt in your bread. It's
pasta malach tofa.
No. You're a tzaddik. No, in fact, we know that they didn't used to have salt in their bread because we just came across this. The Ramah said, Achar kol achim oscha achomelach. The Ramah said, but we have salt in our bread, therefore you don't need to. Jake?
Pretzel challah?
So pretzel challah, I think, is probably possible. I mean, most pretzel challah that I have seen, it's a regular challah, but you have kind of on the outside, you have some of the flavorings.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's the svar. I agree. It's possible. It's possible. It's in. But not for you.
Why not though? It seems like.
No, because the Ramos, you'll see. The Mechaber is going to say, let's say he uses time on mikar as a standard. The Mechaber will say that if it's a little bit sweet, if you kneaded the dough with a little bit some honey, where you can taste it. So the Mechaber says that's possible, but it's not possible. The Ramos says, until it's a lot, it's still possible.
You don't think it's a lot?
I think not in the pretzel, especially because when you go inside, it's like a really pretzel, like a regular challah. So yeah. I think pretzel challah, again, the pretzel challah I've had is for Ashkenazim is possible.
I'm not sure if less pretzel-y than a pretzel.
But it's only the out. No, I don't think so. Ezra? You've been on my side the whole time. Gotta help me some more here.
I think it's kind of funny that, right, that talk about challah, right, that people are willing to decode it as suda with it. It's because it just kind of looks like challah and not because of any other.
Right, but the problem with it is that unless you hold like
a meal food. No one thinks it's a meal food. They just think that it's challah, and so therefore.
And challah is a meal food.
Right, so.
But right, the problem is that if it's really pasta babakistan, then unless you rely upon the mug and a rum to say that you're covering everything else and you've had a kazai, so this and that's sufficient, it means you haven't had lachanishra.
Do people use
babka's challah as a thing? It's not salt babka. It's challah. But it's got a lot of chocolate in it,
and you'll glaze it or sugar.
No, it's on the inside. When on the inside, you start to see.
Your chocolate is a little savory. Why would you start it with a sweet thing? No one cares about flavor theory.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
It's a logical process, but not.
Yeah. It's right. Jake.
I've got meals for you, but okay, a garlic challah, like garlic, like.
I so again, remember that for Ashkenazi, it could be. I don't know. I've never seen this, so I it's hard to judge. But just remember that for Ashkenazim, it's going to be a higher standard to remove it from the level of pas. But those are the kinds of things that I think it's clear the Beis Yosef's view is that it is that it is pas above a kistin. I'm not sure the Beis Yosef would agree with the standard sliding position that it has to be mamish water challah. Given that today, that's my opinion. Given that today. Standard bread is made with some sugar, some eggs, right? It doesn't, we would say most bread is, like when you get the white bread, I mean, white bread is not bread, it shouldn't be, but white bread, no one would say it's sweet. That's not a taste you would associate with it. It doesn't have the sourdough taste of really good bread has, but no one would say that it's sweet. So I don't know, I have to, you know, the question for Ashkenazi would be, has it crossed the line with the pasta about it?
I guess I'm unclear on the Ramah's line is.
Well, we'll eventually get to the Ramah. That'll be tomorrow. Brian.
I don't quite understand. Imagine the time that how people use it, then why is it that there should be a hesitance to accept Shabbat Shachal into the fold? It's sold as challah, people use it as challah. So, done.
No, because they don't. That's the point. Nobody, Ephraim, the only reason, this is, look, this is a
no one actually thinks
okay. Robert, the biggest challenge we face today in general with our breads is that we don't really use bread as our meal anymore, for generally speaking.
I
see
how generally do. People
don't
use it at
chance. Nor would I argue, do they use water challah either. But this is, Ephraim, here's where I think you see the difference. And you see how one functions in bread and one doesn't. You take challah of any regular challah of any kind, not with the chocolate in there, and people will bring out appetizers like hummus and baba ganoush, and you can put that whole family of stuff. And what will people do? They'll use it malakas basa pas. Nobody's going to do that with the chocolate chip cookies.
Why is the lettuce?
No, I'm just saying. You're saying you think it's gross.
No,
I'm
saying
why is the dip test like the? Because that's how bread was used. That's the whole point. That's the whole idea that we haven't done it. The whole definition of davarsh who lalaf is boros apas. That's how bread is used. You could even right that is what you would do with pita, right? One way to eat pita is you eat pita with these dips, and the pita is the meal, and you have the other stuff with it. Right? So you would do that with challah. You would never do it with a babka imitation.
Yes.
Well, it's not wet bread.
You, is it strictly normal to have, you know, dips in any flavor? I'm personally, I'm
pasnakia.
You have
to
plan. That's
perfectly
fine.
No, that's salt.
Salt is a little
different
than the other
left. No, the whole point is that they're pasnakia. If it wasn't pasnakia, it would taste it so bad. You need to have something with it. At least you have salt. So that's meat, tzarech habacha. Of course, when they had white bread, they pasta kia, they had other stuff with it.
Right, that was also
you
had without any.
No. Why do you assume that they didn't have anything else with the bread?
I mean, that was why there was reaction, because he ate it without the left.
He ate it without salt. Because it's not today for the bracha have something that's so flavorless.
No, salt in the Gemara is treated as like the basic thing that you need to have.
I think I need a break. Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
All right.
Anyway, we will resume. Try not to butt too many heads tomorrow. I see. I'm wanting to go back into Baba Kama now. I have an easier time. Yes.
The more radical position of Sephardi today is probably a literal reading of Palestine. In other words, Maran makes an okim shad to say it has to do with the Kaham.
Well, it's not a literal reading, because you could say Milosha, but you know, the Vash really just means you put some honey in it. Because I'll be very honest with you. Do you think you can make a bread which was kneaded primarily with honey? I think the Mechaber didn't go ask Mrs. Mechaber how she made bread. You tell me, how do you make bread with honey?
I have no idea what people do.
Is that part of the?
Have you ever seen bread made? Have you ever made bread? You cannot make bread with honey alone. It won't work. You can flavor honey into the dough. You cannot, like, of all the things. And you probably could. You could do it with oil, probably. And you could certainly do it with fruit juices and probably milk. You cannot do it. Can you imagine trying to make a dough with honey? Yeah, it wouldn't. You're looking at how it tastes. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. No, by the way, the preposterous is you added a little honey to the dough. Not that the honey was the primary.
You don't even like Maran's reading.
Correct. He only adopts that because he's medayin because he wants to be meshavet the tavlin.
Right.
No, I guess I don't mind. Right. In the first place, I would have said it's a small amount. It's a small amount of honey. I would say you're right. It is the Rambam's reading, but the question is why? Why? In other words, yes, the Rambam says that, but why?
That's probably what the ones we're talking about probably were made that way.
You might have known how they were made.
You may have to spend a little bit
added. Correct, and he called the pasta a kisten, but that's because it wasn't, I think, the norm. Okay.